Hello and welcome to Pineapple Classrooms. Pineapple Classrooms is a collaborative project that works to celebrate the teachers of Albuquerque. My name is Kathy Wolf-James and I'm the editor and host of Pineapple Classrooms. On this week's episode of the podcast, I interview Donna Raphoon. Donna was nominated by a former mentee, Missy Lowther, and Donna is an incredible teacher who has very practical advice, who has solid behavior management and works to foster independence with her students no matter the age. Donna has over 33 years of teaching experience. She was a teacher in Albuquerque Public Schools for much of that, but now teaches at Horizon Academy West here in Albuquerque. I'm very excited about today's episode because as I learned more about Donna, I found that we had a lot more in common. And there's a surprise clip in here from another mentee who also looks up to Donna as a huge source of advice. So let's learn from Donna this week. Here with Donna Raphoon. We're enjoying coffee this morning at my house, and we're here to talk about her teaching and what makes her so incredible. And if you hear a little dog in the background, that's Teddy. He's a friend of the podcast. So Donna, how long have you been teaching?
33 years.
Wow. What made you get into teaching?
You know, it was so long ago. It's hard to remember, but I wanted to work with people. And really, that was the main reason I wanted to work with people, share.
So I had Missy send me a recording of herself talking about why she nominated you, and I'd like to play it for you.
Is it going to embarrass me?
No.
I met Donna Raphoon about 12 years ago when I came to John Baker. I found her to be just a natural mentor. She is very down to earth, very genuine, and kind to everyone. She is a great person to talk to when you're worried, excited, any of those feelings that teachers go through and friends go through. I consider her a true friend. Like I said, she's a mentor. I feel like I could go to her with anything. And my heart melted about Mrs. Raphoon, not only when my own nephew refers to her as Mrs. Raccoon, but also when I read a letter from a student, a fifth grade student, that had written a letter about the most influential or the most memorable thing about John Baker in his 6 years. And his letter was all about Mrs. Raphoon and her reading bubble. She finds amazing ways to engage children, to motivate children, and she does it just so naturally. And I think that's what I really love about her the most. She's genuine, she's natural, and she's just a great person to know. Fabulous teacher, but a great person. Thank you, Donna, for your influence on me and for being a friend.
What's your reaction to that?
What more can a person want? What more can a teacher need to hear than that? That's it. That is your reason, right there. That's your reason. So, what a wonderful thing. Anyway, that's it. I'm ready to teach fourth grade now. On to other things.
You're good for another couple years.
I am, but you know, I was struggling on my shirt to wear today. I'm wearing a shirt that says, mm-hmm. I teach, I'm a superpower.
I recognize this shirt.
Yeah, and I was going to wear my school shirt because I'm teaching at Horizon now. And I said, no, I can't do that because I'm still a Baker Bobcat. So I had to wear a neutral shirt. Anyways, but I do love teaching and I do love my colleagues. I do. I love them. They are the reason I am who I am. So.
That's amazing.
That's it.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you. What an honor.
So what are you passionate about as an educator, Donna?
You know, I had a mentor when I was student teaching, and he was a kindergarten teacher, and his motto was independence. And since then, that is, has been my motto. We want the kids to be independent learners, independent in life, and lifelong learners. So that's what I'm passionate about with my kids every year.
That's my dog, Teddy. He has an opinion about everything. So sorry, folks. So in your classroom, this independence, this inspiring lifelong learning, what does that look like?
Well, it's the kids can pretty much go where they need to go and for their own learning. They want to sit someplace, they can do it. And I have different places for them to sit, or if they need to stand, things like that. I also have a discipline plan that's called ICMM card, which I got from another teacher and tweaked, which is awesome. And it is I can manage myself. So every day, we call it every day is special in the classroom. So every day there's something special that we do, and the kids have to have an ICMM card. And that's like their credit card to get around to different things and get things in the classroom.
Why is that important?
It's important because we want kids to be able to be in charge of their learning. We want them to be able to do the things that they think would help them in their goals. And I think that makes for lifelong learning and good citizenship. So,
for your students, do you notice like a difference in how they behave, how they hold themselves?
Absolutely, absolutely. That is, I've used that for probably 17 years now, and the kids love it, and parents love it. They say that their kids are making ICMM cards at home, and they call it their credit card.
Uh-huh.
And I introduce it with my own credit card. If I don't take care of it and I don't follow the rules, then I can't buy those wonderful shoes and purses and things that I love.
Those special things. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So what struggles have you encountered in pursuit of implementing independence?
The struggles that I've encountered, you know, of course you have those kids that struggle with independence and they need those boundaries. So maybe they need to have something more than the ICMM card. They might need a behavior chart of which they choose what behaviors they need to change. You know, we collaborate on that and what they need to work on in order to attain their learning goals. So that would be it. It's working with those kids.
So in situations where you do find that you need to do a little bit more work for the buy-in, are there any strategies that have worked?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. The behavior chart where there's communication between parents. I try and keep it a positive so that what are we doing right? What are we doing right? What are we doing right? And I send them on a lot of errands. Just give them that feeling like, you know, they can do it. Look, she picked me. So they just need a lot of positive interactions and things like that.
And that taps into another element, which is like building up their confidence.
Oh, yeah. And I do growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And growth mindset is, to me, it's amazing. I've only done it for a couple of years. But what buy-in I have from every single student in my class. They love it. And they walk around. I have a sign in my room that says, yeah. And they'll say, well, I don't know it, and I'll look at them, and they'll say, yet, but I will. So I think that is huge for the kids, that they have to know that, you know, they might not know things right now, but they'll get there.
Are there any favorite resources you have for teaching kids about growth mindset or favorite activities?
You know what? I love Teach Pay Teacher.
Yes,
you
of
know,
course.
I'm one of those that says thank you. So Teach Pay Teacher, and there are videos online that are amazing for growth mindset, amazing, and books to read, mm-hmm. you know, even just picture books, and the kids will say, oh, they had a growth mindset. Look at how they changed from the beginning to the end.
Wow.
So if kids are using that vocabulary, plus I have a lot of the kids make, I give them sentence strips and they'll make, you know, phrases for growth mindset. I can't do it yet. Hard work pays off. And I have them think of the different phrases that they can that help them. And they're just all over the room. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, they're just, you know, kids are amazing.
So are there ever any times where you feel like you have a particular student and you have tried everything and you're just like, I'm out. Like, I'm out of ideas.
I know, don't we all?
Okay.
That's when you go to your colleagues and you say, this is going on. I need some help. What would you do? Mm-hmm. Or I need some ideas. You get ideas from your colleagues. Like my behavior chart came from a colleague when I was at Wits End. I was on SAT and sitting in SAT and listening to all the interventions that other teachers have. Your colleagues are your best friends. And I think if you don't have that, you can't possibly be successful. It is not an only child job.
Right. So at those times when you feel like you're at wit's end and emotionally spent, are there any things that, any particular things you do to help yourself recharge?
I walk out of my classroom, leave the door open, tell my class, my peer next door that I just need 10 seconds. I walk down the hall and I walk back. Then I go get the child and we take a walk down the hall and we walk back and I explain when I'm upset and I have no strategies left. I take a walk, and that's what we're going to do. And together, we take a walk, we calm down, we come back, and it's a brand new day.
I love it. I need a reset. Oh, man.
Especially when there's no button, right?
Oh, boy.
They're pressing mine.
Is there anything you do at home to, like, make sure you don't feel burnt out during the year in those really stressful times?
You know, I take 10 minutes to read at night. Just 10 minutes. Not to read a professional journal, not to read the Monday memo, not to read anything that has to do with school, or just anything to get my mind off of it just before I go to bed. Otherwise, it's not a good night's sleep. But of course, you wake up in the morning and that's the first thing you think of. What can I do differently?
Right.
So, yeah, I just try to take 10 minutes. Just 10.
Clear your brain.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing else. Plus, I like to go to coffee with friends. And that just makes me feel so much better. Just so much better. You know, we're all dealing with the same kinds of problems. And maybe there's something else. Plus, we have fun. So.
Right, of course.
We're people.
So in your career, you've been teaching for 33 years. Is there a success story that sticks out in your mind?
They're all success stories. When they come back and they just want to give you a hug. Or when the parents, you see them in the grocery store, and the parents say, I know you were hard on my kid, but thank you because you told me the truth. To me, those are the things. Or when the kids write letters when they're in high school or college for a paper and they send you a copy of it. Oh my gosh. Those are the things that I'm National Board certified. And I had a letter from one of my students, which was a colleague's son. And it was just wonderful. This letter that he wrote to me, and I needed it. It was like he sent it at just the right time.
Oh, gosh.
And he wrote it for school. It was a paper. And I covered my National Board certificate in the frame with this letter, and that's what got me through the year. Of course, I couldn't find my National Board certification when I needed it, but dropped the frame and broke it and found it underneath that letter. But that's what I think those are the success stories. I can't pinpoint just one. So,
a lot of bright, shiny moments.
Well, yeah, that's what keeps you going. If you don't have that, you know, I just feel like, okay, it's time to move on. Mm-hmm. So it's not time yet.
I agree. I do something similar. I have emails. They haven't been teaching that long, so I don't have letters. I have emails that parents have sent me, like, at the end of the year, and they go in this folder. It's like the "you're having a bad day" folder.
Yes.
And you open it up and just pick one to read.
Yeah.
And
I call it my inspiration folder. I labeled it inspiration, and when I'm really going crazy, go to the file cabinet, open up the inspiration folder.
I love that so much.
Oh, and the kids need that, too. Mm-hmm. They need that. I had a little journal. And I got this off of a, what's it called? Anyways, it was online. I had a student teacher. So at the time I had the student teacher, I had to leave the classroom, of course, for full assumption. And I was doing my, renewing my national board at that time. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do a lot of webinars. So I watched tons of webinars. And one of them was on I Notice. What do you notice going on around you? And it's always you want the kids to notice things, but this time it was me. So I would just sit and walk around the room and I'd notice things and I'd write, I notice so-and-so helping out this person with their math, and I could see on their faces that they both got something out of that. And I would read it at the end of the day to the kids, my I notices. And before you know it, the kids are making their own I notice books. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But the things you can learn from other people are amazing. So that was my I Notice book.
I love it. I'm going to look that up. I think it's fantastic. So if you, I mean, you've mentored a lot of teachers in your career. Mm-hmm. Do you even know how many at this point?
No, but I started when I came to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I taught in Florida for 11 years and then I moved out here, and that's when I started to mentor, because I had such wonderful mentors, and I thought, you know, I need to give back.
Right.
And plus, it'll keep me motivated mm-hmm. to keep going, because these kids coming out of high school, no matter what age they are, I call them kids, but they have so many wonderful ideas, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think of that. And they can see things that are going on in the classroom with the kids, and they say, you know, I don't think this is working. What if we try this? And I'm like, holy cow, that's going to work. And I think that's just amazing. Plus, this is a little selfish. Whenever I had a student teacher, I called them, and I tell them the first day we meet, if you don't mind, you are our student teacher. You belong to the grade level. So we're all going to be utilizing you. So that you can get into their classrooms, see how it works, so you're not just stuck in mine, then go out to other classrooms. You know, it's reciprocal. So I can go out into other classrooms and see what they're doing. So that was my selfish piece of poor student teachers.
I'm like listening to you and I'm like, oh, man, will you be my mentor? it's a really great way to like take on a mentee.
Yeah. It's a reality check on both sides. Yeah. So,
and earlier you were talking about the ideas that a mentee can offer to, I think about like new teachers and how their first year they're so overwhelmed. And probably, like, I remember as a new teacher feeling like, I don't have much to contribute here.
Oh, but you do.
But I feel like it's important to tell new teachers.
Yeah.
Like,
they need a support system. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Whether you are labeled as their mentor, mm-hmm. That does not matter. You need to support those new teachers in any way possible without making them feel like they're doing something wrong.
No judgment.
Yeah. It's just so important. And the new teachers coming in need to remember communication. They need to communicate with the parents. They need to communicate with their students. And they need to communicate with their peers. And that's it. You know, I have this great idea, or this isn't working.
Right.
Either way, you know, they have great things to offer, and parents will love them if they communicate. So will the kids.
I feel like that's a hard thing to do when your confidence isn't there yet as a teacher. You're still just trying to figure things out. So communicating your ideas to your colleagues, to parents, can be daunting.
Do you know what I do a lot is I have a checklist of all my kids' names, and I will try to write in their agendas or just write them a note, like on a little piece of whatever, you know, it has a cupcake on one side and play on the other, you know, those kinds of note cards, and just write, take five kids a week and write them a note. Your parents will notice that you're doing that. Or just write a note in the agenda. What a great week so-and-so had. Or I noticed that your child, you know, brought their homework in 4 days in a row. Or, you know, did you know that he loves science or whatever? Just write something positive in the agenda and just pick five kids a week, you know, because I couldn't do more than that. It was just too much for me. But, yeah, just... I think that is just going to break the ice. Even sending a note to the prior teacher, I learned that from another teacher. Send a note to the teacher or the group of teachers that came before you, like the if you're teaching third grade, send it to the second grade teachers. Oh, my gosh, thank you so much. These kids know their facts. These kids know how to write. And you will be amazed. All of a sudden, they're going to be knocking on your door. So... I think that's communication.
Yeah.
That's it.
Building a culture, too.
Yes, yes. Oh, and that's huge in your classroom, is building that classroom culture. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks at the beginning of the school year. You know, set aside, you know, you can do the academics, but your main, the main piece is building a culture of trust in your classroom. So, and we, the way I say to the kids is, what happens in this classroom stays in this classroom. So if I tell you stop picking your nose, I'm sorry, but go get a tissue. Stop picking your nose. Would you rather I tell you, or you're on the playground and all your friends tell you? Or I know that was disgusting. I'm sorry.
That was hilarious.
But it's true.
And it's real.
Yeah.
What grade level are you teaching this year?
Right now I'm teaching fourth. It's my first year in fourth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the kids are a little bit more independent. I have a little refrigerator in my classroom. And at my school, the kids get free lunch, breakfast. So every morning they come in for breakfast. And, of course, they don't want to eat all the breakfast that's there. So we shove it into this tiny little refrigerator. During the day, I'm noticing, you know, they're going in the refrigerator and they're taking out a snack to eat. And I'm like, okay, choose your battles. Is it that you don't want them going in the refrigerator? They know what they can have and what they can't have. What is it your goal is? Right. So it's one of my battles. I'm not, you know, good. They feel at home. Let them take stuff out of the refrigerator. I've never had that before, but choose your battles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. And then to know if something is, like, annoying to you personally,
yes, yes,
and if it's, like, actually a real problem in the classroom,
yeah,
and, like, differentiating that.
Right.
Like, oh, let this one go. That can be hard in, like, a moment where you're like,
yeah,
that bothers me.
Yeah. What are you going to let go of? What are you going to let roll off your back? Just like when somebody comes and is griping. Do you want to let that, do you want to internalize that and become also a griper? Or do you want to let them vent because that's what they really need at that moment? Let them vent, let it roll off, and go on, you know, and that's, you have to help your colleagues out that way, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have your door open at the end of the day.
It is.
Let somebody tell you what's going on.
Especially when you have that end classroom up to the parking lot, which is, you know, it's nice. People need to walk through somebody's room and say, this is how my day went. And then they can walk out the door and it's gone.
Right.
And they need that, so... Oh, well.
And then to also ask, like, asking people in a very purposeful way, how was your day?
Right,
because they may
right.
not go to you,
yeah,
but letting them know that you are a person
interested.
That they can go to.
Yeah.
Interested. Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. So how do you welcome people into your classroom?
Open door. Anybody can come in. The parents come and they sneak like this and they're waving. And, you know, I said, why don't you just come in? And the kids will, I'll make them. Go hug and kiss your mother or your father. Tell them thank you for whatever they've done today and on their way. And that's all they want. They just want a hug and a kiss from their kids. And teachers, they can come in. They could come in anytime, and they just knew it. You know, they'd come in and they'd say, oh, I didn't know you were busy. I'm never busy.
No,
not for you. come in. Everybody say hi to Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so. And the kids, that was one thing the kids, you know, I would reward them at first. Whenever you see any adult walk into the classroom, please, if it's afternoon, say good afternoon. If it's morning, say good morning. Watch their face. And the kids would see it and they'd say, oh, they had a big smile on their face. I said, see, you've worked your magic. So whenever you see anybody walk into the room, whatever time of day it is, just say that and watch what happens. It changes their day. So that's
how they welcome. It fits nicely with the I notice, too.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Just having them point out. I like that a lot.
Kids are amazing. You know, unless we give them that, those tools, we tell them exactly what's going to help, they're not going to know. You know, you can't say, why didn't you do this? Well, they didn't know. We make so many assumptions about children, but they don't know. We have to open our eyes.
As I mentioned earlier, this podcast has a bonus shout out today. A fifth grade teacher at Sombra Del Monte Elementary School.
My name is Kim Dubbs, and I'm a fifth grade teacher. I had the great fortune of doing my student teaching a few years ago with Donna Rapoon. Student teaching with Donna had by far the biggest impact on the teacher I am today. She had a way of making me feel like we were co-teaching instead of being a student teacher. It would be very hard to watch her teach and not feel inspired. I remember her saying that her biggest goal for her students was for them to leave her class as curious, independent learners. Her classroom management is top-notch. Her students are held to extremely high expectations, yet every student in her class feels valued and supported. She has an abundance of energy and knowledge. Students worked harder in her class than they probably had ever done before, yet they loved being there and had lots of fun learning. I remember, even as a student teacher, being so excited to see what we were going to teach next or plan next or to see how she interacted with her students and parents and other teachers. She very rarely left school before 6 p.m. because she always wanted to make sure that everything was ready for the next day, and because so many teachers wanted to come in and talk to her or get advice or bounce ideas off of her. Still to this day, even when I face a challenge in my own teaching, I ask myself, how would Donna handle this? And that question always leads me to better teaching. The future of education is in good hands because Donna is still sharing her knowledge with a new generation of teachers and inspiring all that know her.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Pineapple Classrooms. Remember, this podcast runs on shout-outs and praising teachers around us. So if there is an incredible teacher that works next door to you, down the hall, your sister, your friend, give them a shout-out. Nominate them using the nominations tab on the website, pineappleclassrooms.com. We can also be found on Twitter and Instagram. Those links are on our website. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Bye.